Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I don't know any parent who hasn't asked themselves in the past 2 months, am I being a bad parent? Whether it's because of the amount of screen time your kids are getting, or the loose rules around homework, or concerns you've older scheduled their days, maybe you said yes to a masked play date and now you feel guilty. Since New York went on pause, many of us are trying to balance working from home and remote learning. Many of you may have seen this viral clip of a little girl pretending to be her mom on a work call, discussing how to manage the virus. Take a listen.
Oh, I'm sorry. My kids are screaming. Hi. Shh, guys, I'm on a work call. I love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Yeah, what's that? Okay, pardon me, sorry. Yeah, we have to use that to process it, David. Yeah. I know. So Asha is going to be processing the COVID gloves and masks while we do the gowns, and the CEO is going to deliver us 5,000 cash to buy the supplies we need. Yeah, the formula. So Katie and Sophie are working on that. They said they have a plan.
Kids hear everything. Joining me now as our guide on parenting during a pandemic is Lori Gottlieb, psychotherapist, columnist for The Atlantic's Dear Therapist, and author of the memoir, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Of course, she was our January Get Lit with All of It book club selection author. Lori, nice to talk to you again.
Oh, so nice to talk with you, Allison.
Okay, team All of It, we're taking your calls. What new challenges have the pandemic presented to you and the parent? Maybe opportunities? What questions do you have about parenting in this time of social distancing? Has the pandemic changed your approach to parenting? Do you have a pandemic parenting story you want to share? Maybe you figured something out the rest of us could use. Give us a call. 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. You can also tweet to us at All of It WNYC, or if you'd like to remain anonymous, you can always send us a message via Instagram. That is also at All of It WNYC. So, Laura, you described this concept of setting the emotional tone in a home at this point. What does it mean to set the emotional tone?
Yeah, so I think that parents are so worried about whether they're doing the right things or they're doing enough of something or too much of something else. And what they really need to focus on is that our kids are watching us. And so they are going to take cues from us in terms of how they feel about what's going on. So if we are anxious and trying to hold ourselves to unrealistic standards, that's going to make them really anxious and feel like they have to meet these unrealistic standards in whatever their, you know, endeavors like school are also. So I think it's really important that we create a culture of calm in our home, mm-hmm. and we keep them informed at a developmentally appropriate level about what's going on, but we really help them to kind of keep normal life going as much as possible. And also, when I say normal life, there's going to be a new normal. So maybe you have new rituals or new ways of being in your house because everybody's home and it's different, but creating some kind of sense of, you know, this is hard, but we got this.
In a recent piece in Dear Therapist, you got a letter from a parent who wrote, "We're making sure our kids exercise, have a schedule, spend time outside each day, and try to maintain as normal a life as possible. I've also suggested journaling to my middle school age kids of the family. We've been having open conversations, but this parent wants to know how to do more." What was your initial response to his concerns?
My response was, he needs to do less. You know, I think that that's what I'm talking about. And what I want to say, what I said to him and what I think applies to all parents is that we're doing great. Parents are doing great. I want parents to catch themselves doing something well, catch themselves saying, you know what, I could have freaked out in this moment, but I stayed calm. Or even if you are freaking out sometimes, know that that's normal. This is a really stressful time. So instead of worrying about, you know, overscheduling and making sure that your kids are occupied at every moment, or expecting that your kids are going to learn as much academically as they normally would, they're learning so much just by going through this experience. They're learning about flexibility and adaptability and resilience and community. And maybe you're talking to them about you know, reaching out and bringing dinner and putting it on the doorstep of that neighbor across the street who's alone, or maybe it's calling grandma, or whatever it is. But I think they're learning certain kinds of lessons that, you know, maybe aren't what they would be learning in school, but they're just as important.
My guest is Lori Gottlieb, psychotherapist, columnist for The Atlantic's Dear Therapist, and author of the memoir, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. We're talking about parenting during the pandemic. Our number is 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. We'd love to hear from you. What new challenges has the pandemic presented to you as a parent? What questions do you have about parenting in a time of social distancing? Maybe you want to share a story that might help out someone else. You can also tweet to us at allofitwnyc, or if you prefer to remain anonymous, we can always take your message on our Instagram at allofitwnyc. I'm curious if there are any red flags that parents might want to be aware of that means that your child is anxious or stressed in a way that they can't necessarily verbalize.
Yeah, so I think that kids express depression and anxiety sometimes differently from the way that adults do. So sometimes if a child is depressed, they might act out behaviorally instead of being sort of the way adults do, which is they tend to isolate and they tend to get very lethargic, and you know, it's different. So if your kid is really acting out a lot, your kid is, you know, not being how he or she normally is, I would try to get curious with that kid about, you know, what's going on? This seems really hard. Instead of being like, no, stop doing that, and, you know, kind of trying to manage the behavior, is try to get into the emotions. I think that we are so focused right now on protecting our physical immune systems, right, by like washing our hands and social distancing, that we aren't as focused on protecting our psychological immune systems. And so we're trying to keep everything under control in the house. Like, we want people to do what they're supposed to be doing in the house, right? And sometimes our kids are going a little bit stir crazy, and they might be acting out, and that's normal right now, but they might be acting out in a way that really signal something else. And so it's important to talk with them. I think a lot of parents are worried about bringing up the pandemic because they worry that they're going to create anxiety for their children. And it's important that we can talk about it, because the worst thing that a kid experiences is there's some secret in the house. There's something going on. There's some vibe in the air that nobody's talking about. That makes them feel very unsafe.
So interesting. Don't manage the behavior. Pay attention to the emotions. Such good advice. You know, I wonder about kids now being separated from their friends and classmates for a really long time. Do you have are there negative side effects to this, and what should we be looking for? And are there ways that parents can help kids short of doing the secret play date, which people are doing, but it's you know, not really that healthy?
Yeah, I think that it's helpful for kids to be able to come up with ways to connect with their friends. So you can have a conversation with them about, yeah, I know you miss your friends. Also, by the way, I should say that when they talk about missing their friends, I think a lot of parents have the instinct to try to make it sound not as bad as it is, because we want to take away our kids' pain. That's not helpful for our kids. So if you say to your kids, when they say, yeah, I really miss my friends, and you say, oh, well, you'll get to see them soon, a better response for your kid might be, yeah, I know, it really sucks. This is really hard not to see your friends. And that's not going to make it worse for them. Parents think, well, you know, if I acknowledge how bad it is, then that's just going to depress them. No, it's going to make them feel seen and heard and understood. And so, you know, how can kids connect with their friends? You can ask them, you can say, I know you really miss them. What do you think might be a way, given that you can't see them in person right now, what might be a way that you can connect with them? And kids have come up with these amazing ideas, and they feel so proud of themselves when it's their idea, because they have agency and they've taken ownership of the problem, and they've found a solution that might not be the ideal solution, but it's good enough for now. So really give them the opportunity to say, you know, what are some other ways? Some kids are doing, you know, they're doing all kinds of things online with one another, whether that's one-on-one or in groups. You know, how can they organize these things?
Let's take a call. Siobhan is calling us on line one from Astoria. Hi, Siobhan. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. So my question to your guest is, so my son was previously diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, and he's 6 years old. And last year we made a lot of progress, and we hit all of the milestones, and he did a really great job. So what I've noticed now with all of this happening, he's really kind of slid back in all of the progress that he made, and a lot of the old tics and things have come back really strongly during all of this. And so I'm just wondering, like, how much time and effort and emphasis should I be placing on helping him, like, continue with making that progress and making sure he is consistent with those with the progress, or should I just be emphasizing elsewhere and not worry too much about him sliding back on all of this?
Siobhan, thank you for the call.
That's such a good question. We are all in some ways regressing during this time, so it makes sense that a child with an anxiety disorder would regress also. I think it really helps to name what's going on for people with anxiety, to say, you know, this is anxiety, this is a hard time, and to normalize. We are all experiencing this. It's not just you. We're all experiencing this. And then the both and of the situation, which is we're all experiencing anxiety, this is hard, and here are some ways that we can help cope with it right now, I think is very important. And then I think also just to, you know, to not be so worried about your kid's worry, meaning if you are anxious about your child's anxiety, that's going to increase their anxiety as well.
Good luck, Siobhan. Let's go to Kate, who's calling us from Ithaca. Hi, Kate. Thanks for calling All of It. What's your question or comment?
Hi. So I have a 7-year-old son, and we went out yesterday. It was beautiful weather, and we were just taking a drive and getting out, and he had a lot of anxiety about, like, I want to go home. It was our first time out in a long time because we've been isolating successfully, but I'm wondering about reentry when this is over.
That is such an
interesting
question.
We've done a pretty good job of homeschooling. We're not doing too much stress. We're validating feelings, and I think we're doing a pretty good job, but what's going to happen after?
Lori, any thoughts about the way we reintroduce our kids to the outside world?
Yeah. So I don't know what it was like when you were on that drive, but it might have been that a lot of people have masks on or gloves on, and they look a little bit different. And I think there's a feeling out there that feels different from when we normally go out. So part of it might be that your child was a little bit alarmed by the way people looked. So I don't know if that was the case. And I would say, regardless of that, when we do go back out, change of any kind is hard. It always requires an adjustment. And so we had to make this adjustment to not going out. And then we're going to need to make another adjustment to being back in the world because we're not used to it right now. And especially for young children, remember, a few months in the life of a young child is a long time. It's a big percentage of their life. So if you're 6 years old and it's been 3 months of your life, that's a lot. For somebody who's 40 years old, maybe that's not so much. So just to remember that this is going to be an adjustment as they make this change.
My guest is Lori Gottlieb, psychotherapist and columnist for The Atlantic's Dear Therapist. The name of her memoir is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. We're taking your calls about parenting during the pandemic. We're talking about emotional well-being today. 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. If you have any questions for Lori or you want to share a story about how you and your family are coping, Lori, this is my question is, how much rule breaking is too much rule breaking? You know, we've been adapting so much, and, you know, there's a certain element of like, wow, these poor kids are inside all the time. Sure, they can watch another 15 minutes or play 15 minutes more of this game. And now that this is going on and on, I guess the question is, how much rule breaking is too much rule breaking? And could these behaviors become permanent, or how do we keep them from becoming permanent?
Yeah, we are so hard on ourselves, and sometimes we can be so hard on our kids as a result of that, because we really want things to be exactly as they were before this happened, and the fact is that they're not. And so how can we make things go smoothly given the situation? And so some people are saying, you know, I'm eating more, or some people are saying that, you know, I'm not exercising as much, and we should eat well and we should exercise, but you know, give yourself a break. And if your kid needs to watch an extra episode of television, or, you know, they need an extra few minutes or half hour of screen time, that's going to calm them down. And there's not a lot that they could be doing, you know, outside the house right now. And so I would say whatever people need to do right now to kind of get through this, you know, within moderation, right? Mm-hmm. But still, it might be more than what they normally do, and that's absolutely fine. I think we are all doing great. I want to reiterate that if you are, these are the things I think are important. I think go to bed at the normal time and wake up at the normal time for kids and adults. I think that's really helpful. And I think when you get up, take a shower and put on clothes, even if those clothes are sweatpants. That's fine. But just to differentiate between day and night, and to help with your sleep, because sleep is really important for your immune system, both emotionally and physically. And then, you know, make your bed, because A, you're home, so you can, and B, it helps differentiate again day and night. And then eat your meals at normal times. So don't eat lunch at 4 o'clock or skip lunch because you forgot to eat it. And if you have that infrastructure in place, then whatever else happens during the day, it's fine. You're doing great if you're doing those things.
Got a question from someone named Greg. Greg wanted to know how he can support all of his friends who are home taking care of kids. What a nice question.
It's really funny, because as a therapist, I see people with kids and I see people who don't have kids. And what I hear from the people with kids is, I need to talk to somebody on the outside. You know, I need a break from all this. I love these people that I'm with, but they're driving me crazy. And what I hear from the people who don't have kids is, I don't want to disturb the people with kids. They have so much on their plates right now. And so it's funny, because the people who want to hear from them and are not hearing from them because they're afraid, those people are afraid that they'll be interrupting them. So I would say, reach out to them. They really want to talk to you. They really want to talk about something other than their kids. You know, they want to hear what's going on out in the world in somebody else's life right now. So the best way to support them is just by your presence meaning not your physical presence, but your FaceTime presence or your presence on the phone.
Carol is a grandma who's calling us from Clark, New Jersey on line one. Hi, Carol. What's going on with you and your family?
Yes, I'm calling about a 10-year-old who's really down about not being able to have friends over and the birthday party, and just doesn't seem able to be consoled about it, and doesn't want to think about other options, and is just, you know, down about it. And then sometimes that same one gets, try to offer different things to do, and not right now, she says, not right now. And just some advice on that. And thank you so much for being on the show. The kids really need you, and the parents and the grandparents. So thank you so much.
Carol, thank you for calling in. Lori, how can she help along her grandchild?
Yeah, so Carol, I would say two things. The first is that it sounds like a lot of people are trying to come up with solutions for your grandchild, but not really giving the grandchild some space to talk about how he or she is feeling. So the first thing I would do, instead of trying to offer lots of different suggestions, which would be the second thing, is to really sit down and say, tell me about this. Tell me how much this sucks. Tell me how hard this is. And let the kid just talk about it without trying to talk the kid out of his or her feelings, without trying to say, yeah, but we could do this. But just let the kid say everything that they're feeling right now. And really just validate everything that the kid is feeling. Yes, yes, I know. Yes, I agree. Yes, right? And just, you know, when I was training as a therapist, they always said, my supervisor said, you have two ears and one mouth. There's a reason for that ratio. It's because sometimes when we really want to help people, we're not really listening. We're trying to give them solutions. So use your ears, not your mouth, to listen to what the kid is feeling. And once the kid feels a little more seen and heard in that way, you might then say, look, and be very clear, this is not equivalent of what you want. I know that this is not even half as good as what you want to have your friends here for your birthday. But birthdays are really important, and let's talk about how you might celebrate your birthday. Here are some things we saw other kids doing. And, you know, you come to us and you let us know if any of these things interest you. And then see what happens at that point.
Is there any particular message? I know you have to go real soon. Is there any particular message that parents really need to get across to their kids during this time?
Yeah, I think the message is that we are all in this together, and that we that this is a really challenging time, and yet we are going to be flexible, and we got this. And you can come to me with anything, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what's going on with you. I'm curious, I'm interested, and I'm here.
My guest has been therapist and author Lori Gottlieb. Lori, thank you so much for your good guidance, and thanks to all our callers for calling in and being so candid.
Oh, my pleasure, Allison. Thanks so much.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.